Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
On prior broadcasts, we brought you a creation seminar by Steve Groman. Later, we were contacted by our friends, the Gromans, to request prayer. They were at East Tennessee State University, scheduled to conduct their creation seminar there. However, they had had people picketing and protesting the seminar even before their arrival. The authorities insisted that the Gromans have police protection while they were there. So we prayed and had others to pray. We then got an update later on the first night of the seminar. Steve's wife Dana wrote and said, "Tonight was really hostile. Several hecklers started right off. Steve and the campus minister called for the police, who carried three people out. As they were being taken out, they threatened the campus minister, so he is concerned. The threat was documented in the police report. The spiritual warfare was intense. Satan is not pleased here. Many of the students are incredibly blasphemous. A handful came down to thank Steve for standing so strong under such adversity. The ministers are appalled. They had no idea the creation versus evolution topic was such a deep-rooted stronghold." We then got another update from them on the final night of the seminar. Steve began speaking, and one guy blurted out right off the bat, and Steve said, "That is the one and only one." The crowd was silent, and Steve was able to declare, "This country was founded as a Christian nation, despite what, unfortunately, most of them have been taught." He showed from the Bible that all nations are of one blood. One group came as far as from Kentucky. Biggest crowd ever. The main belligerent people were spoken to by the university leaders earlier today. The worst ones were not in attendance. Steve did over 1 hour of uninterrupted lecture, and then there was almost an hour of questions and answers. Pastor Grimm and Brother G are thrilled. The sound guy at the university came and apologized to Steve 3 times tonight for how it went last night. He always works the special events, and he said he has never seen anything like what went on last night. It's just amazing how people act when they know the evidence doesn't lead to the conclusions that they insist are the opinion that everyone should hold to. We're glad to bring you the opening session of Steve's creation seminar right here on The Voice of Truth.
We're actually on our session number one here of a creation seminar. And, you know, something to keep in mind as we get going throughout throughout the whole time. The seminar is designed to open your eyes, open your hearts and minds, and perhaps challenge the way that you look at God's creation. You know, just kind of tuck that away in the back of your mind there and remember that. But anyway, let me just show you a little few pictures of smattering of my family here. And a lot of times people want to know who we are and how we got going and everything. Tell you a little bit about us. I was in the business world about 18 years, and the last 11 of those, I owned my own company. I was very successful. I made a lot of money. I was also a paramedic, and I was the EMS director for the emergency medical services where we lived. I was very busy. I was married to 2 pagers, a 2-way radio, and a wife all at the same time, you know. And sad to say, but it was in that order. You know, a lot of times people's priorities aren't quite lined up the way they're supposed to be, you know. That's just reality. But my wife was a commercial real estate appraiser, and between the two of us, we had everything from the world's perspective. Man, we had the world by the tail. And we're living the American dream, as they say. You know, between the two of us, we had 7 vehicles. 6 of them were brand new. Now, no family of 2 needs 6 new vehicles, you know. You just don't need that stuff. But anyway, we had homes. We had 2 homes. We had 5 of these Honda Goldwing, Aspen Cage, you know, nothing but the top-of-the-line stuff. And we had land. We had everything from the world's perspective. We had a nice big boat we had to keep at the marina, too big to carry around. We had an airplane. I'm a pilot. We had a plane. We had everything from the world's perspective. We had the world by the tail, living the American dream, as they say. About 13 years ago, my wife and I were at a church service. And we were just at this service, you know, and I just very clearly heard God say to me, "Steve, get rid of everything you have. I want you to go on the road, live by faith, teach about creation in churches. I'll take care of you." And so anyway, I'm driving the car home that night, and I look over at my wife. I said, "Honey, we are getting rid of everything we have." Now, folks, we have quite a lifestyle. You know, we got a lot of stuff. I said, "We're getting rid of everything we have, and we're going to go on the road, live by faith, teach about creation. God's going to take care of us." Well, she looked at me like I was nuts, you know. It's been about 13 years ago. She's positively sure I'm nuts. That's well established, you know. But folks, that's what we did. The very next day, we started getting rid of things, you know, and that included businesses too. That included everything. And sometimes people say, well, you know, you had all that stuff you sold it. You're living on the investments and all that kind of thing. No, most of the stuff that we had loans on it. And we had notes on it. If you own something and you have a note on it, you know, you're making payments, go get rid of it tomorrow and watch what happens, you know. It took every dime we had to get rid of the stuff we didn't need in the first place. We just kind of wanted, you know. And but the point is, we got rid of everything. And it has been an incredible journey. But what you see in here in this motorhome out here, a little 24-foot square camp, a little cabin up in northern New Hampshire, that's all we had. In fact, the guy that built this place, he didn't even paint the thing. He just wrapped it up in tar paper. It's in the forest. He didn't want to, he didn't know what to do with the foundation, so he just cut the trees off and put the house on top of the tree stumps. Our house moves quite a bit, you know. He didn't realize tree stumps rot. But we have no running water. We have no electricity. But the point is, it's just a little cabin. It sits on the side of the mountain there up in northern New Hampshire. And we like our little place. You know, some of the winter month pictures. Now, you folks here in the northern part of the country, you know, you get snow and you know what it's all about. But we're from South Texas. Now, we show pictures like this to our family. They look at us and they say, you know, you're nuts. And maybe we are. But we get so much snow, there's nowhere left to put the snow. It gets cold in the 30s below zero and all that kind of stuff. But we like the winter month stuff. We like to do the fun things as far as winter goes. But in fact, some of the wildlife pictures here, these pictures are shot from inside the house looking out. In fact, if you call our phone number, our answering service thing will pick up because we're not there. It says we're out back watching the moose and the bear, or we're at a seminar. And again, I was filming this guy from actually inside the house one day, way early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm in this window right here in the house there. And just sipping on some coffee and reading, you know, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And our neighbor shows up over here. So we had a picnic lunch the day before. He's cleaning up the mess that we left behind there. And so anyway, it's way early in the morning. I go wake up my wife. In fact, you can see the this dark shaded thing right here. This is the window frame. You see the latch of the window right there. I mean, this guy's just right here, you know. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. So I went and woke up my wife. I said, hey, our neighbor's here if you want to come see him. She comes stumbling out. She looks, whoa. She said, I'm going to get that bear. Well, she found the biggest gun she could find. He's no longer a problem, you see. She got him, that rascal. But the point is, folks, what you see in here in this motorhome out here, a little cabin up in northern New Hampshire, that's all we have. But you know what, folks, we've given everything up. And understand something, please understand something. There's nothing special about Steve Grohman and family. I'm a normal guy with a normal family that loves the Lord that said yes to what he said to do. But you want to know something, folks? God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He will use a willing vessel, you know? So, but it has been an absolute blast. It has been quite the journey, you know, for years and years and years now. We go to big churches, little churches, and everything you can imagine in between. Our first 3.5 years, we were in a Jeep pulling a snowmobile trailer with our stuff in it. Now, anybody that knows anything about a snowmobile trailer, you know they're designed to handle a snowmobile. You drive it for 60 miles, you park the thing, you ride your snowmobile, you put it back in, you drive it 60 miles back home, and you park it, and it's done. Well, we've loaded this thing down with rocks and fossils and books and things. We're dragging it tens of thousands of miles. They're not designed for that. We carried 4 spares on wheels because every 200, 250 miles, we'd blow a tire out. We'd be on the side of the road, you know, jacking the thing up, trying to fix it. Our son, his first birthday, his little body had 126,000 car seat miles on his little body, you know, on his first birthday. I mean, just we didn't have enough money to get a motel room at night on the road. We cracked the windows down just a little bit and sleep on the side of the road in the rest areas and stuff, you know. But I wouldn't trade those years for anything. We promised God 2 things and we got started. No matter what the cost, we will always stick together as a family. You know, a lot of times an evangelist flies off over here and goes over there and flies off down here and over there and up there and over there, and they never even see their own family. Well, you know, the Bible says the two shall be one. So we're going to stick together as a family. And then number two, we'll never turn down a church based on its size. Now, folks, we've been in big, big churches and little bitty churches, but along with that, we live on the offerings of the people in attendance at the services, at each service. We don't take church pay, or we don't get, you know, some big giant support from somewhere. Well, you know, it just the offerings of the people there. Well, we go to churches that have 12 or 15 people. It affects that kind of thing, you know, but that's okay. You know what, folks? If a person will be faithful to do what God wants them to do, God's going to take care of the person. But have an outright blast. But we go to big churches and little churches and all kinds of different, everything you can imagine in between. We've all kinds of schools, public schools and private schools, elementaries and high schools, university settings, secular university and Christian schools and homeschool meetings and prisons and camps and you name it, all kinds of different stuff. Having an outright blast. A lot of different TV and radio stuff over the years, having an outright blast. We used to have a lot of fun, but folks, now we're having the joy of the Lord with us and having an outright blast. And so you can't trade that for anything. I delight to do thy will. It is really quite a privilege to do what God wants a person to do. You know, you just can't trade that for anything, you know. But anyway, we have our whole testimony is really quite an amazing thing. It's about a two-hour testimony. We have the DVD and CD back there on it, just the journey that God has brought us through all this time, you know, just a neat stuff. But anyway, this is our son Paul. You know, when Paul was born, we were kind of reminded of some things about people that we didn't much think about. And if you've ever had a child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here we have this little baby, and people come up to us and give us this kind of silly look and say something really profound like, "Oh." It always works. "What's your new baby's name?" Now, by the way, folks, I've never met anybody who's ever given birth to an old baby, you know? We always call him a new baby. Well, duh, you know? But anyway, we would answer the question, "Well, his name is Seth Paul, but we call him Paul by his middle name." And we had all kinds of comments about that. People said, "Seth, you mean like Seth Thomas the clock guy?" I think I'm the only person that was unaware of this fellow, but we certainly know about him now. But if you play a musical instrument, you may very well use a Seth Thomas metronome. He's a pretty famous guy, but we didn't know much about him. And but anyway, people said, "Seth, that's a biblical name, isn't it?" People said, "Seth, that's a name out of the Bible, right?" Folks, believe it or not, on two different occasions, two different times, somebody actually said basically the same thing about Paul. They said, "Paul." Now, that was a pretty big name in the Bible, wasn't it? You know, I thought for a moment, scratched my head. I said, "No, it's only four letters. You ought to see some of the names in there, you know." Now, folks, those are big names in the Bible, you see. But here's the thing, folks, it's a sad commentary. We are a Christian nation, or we used to be anyway, established under biblical laws and principles. But even that's under fire these days. But you know what, folks? If you even have a penny in your pocket, you have something that says, "In God we trust." Now, it does not say in Allah we trust. It doesn't say in Buddha we trust. It doesn't say in Mother Earth we trust. It says in God we trust. In fact, you know, you listen to the weather reports. Think about this. And, you know, having beautiful weather, and they tell us how Mother Nature is being so wonderful to us. Folks, we do not have a Mother Nature. We have a Father God. It's not an accident. That's the way that package has been put together. Evolution affects even our way of thinking and talking in normal day-to-day routine in life. It affects everything. Now, think of it. Beautiful weather outside, you know, and the weatherman will tell you how Mother Nature is being so good to us. Yeah, right. Hey, here's a tornado comes through, rips the roof off of your house. Your insurance company says, "We're not going to cover that. That's an act of God." Now, wait a second. When something good happens, it's Mother Earth. When something bad happens, it's God's fault. Folks, we have messed up situations in this country in a big way. We need some folks to wake up and step up to the plate. Even at McDonald's, this is the bathroom door to the men's room here. You can see the hinges here. And right there's the handle. It says across the top, "The Greek Gods." That kind of stuff always fascinates me. Everybody is familiar with these guys. How about these guys right here? Highlights for children. It says right on the front cover, "Fun with a purpose." Well, I wonder about the purpose sometimes. Open one of these up one day, and folks, there is an entire article on the Dalai Lama. Now, let's put some things in perspective for just a moment. Do you realize you can do an article on the Dalai Lama? And you could put it in a kid's book. You can ship this thing all over the country. That's not a problem. Everybody's got a copy of this, have seen these kind of things. You go to any doctor's office, any dentist's office, you'll get these things. They're all over the place. Not a problem. You could put a life-size poster of the Greek gods up at the bathroom door at McDonald's if you'd like to. Not a problem. But you start talking about Jesus Christ in public, they say, "Now, wait a minute. There's a separation of church and state, you see." Folks, we got problems in this country. You can talk about any god you want to except the one true living God. Right. We've got problems. We need some folks to wake up to the issues. It would do folks well to study our founding fathers and early statesmen. What did they say about who we are and why we're here the way we are? Most people don't even realize our history. Andrew Jackson said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." Well, you listen to any news commentator, any mayor, any governor, any president, anybody, and they go and talk about our democracy. Now, wait a second, folks. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the democracy? It's into the Republic. You cannot find the battle hymn of the democracy in a hymnal, but the battle hymn of the Republic is in every one. We don't even know what kind of government we have anymore. Even Home Depot gets in on this thing. Everybody's trying to spread democracy all over the planet. Well, wait a second. That's not what we were established as. We were not established as a mobocracy, a democracy. We're established basically a representative republic based on the immovable laws of the Word of God. That's how this nation was established. But see, the devil's stolen our history also. He's taken everything he can. In fact, George Washington, in his first inaugural address, said the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. And the American people have flat let this thing go in a big way. John Jay, first Chief Justice, United States Supreme Court, says, Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Now, folks, would we be a different nation today if we would still live by those kind of principles there? You know, they do surveys. 92% of Americans are Christians. Folks, that's not true. If that were true, we would certainly not be in the shape that we're in as a nation today. That's a given. In fact, check this one out. The issue here is prayer in school. Part of the official ruling, Galveston County Schools, incredible stuff here. Let prayer continue just so long as you pray the right prayers when you pray. This court will allow prayer, if it is a typical non-denominational prayer, it can refer to God or the Almighty, but must not refer to Jesus. And make no mistake, this court will have U.S. Marshals in attendance at graduation. If any student, now notice this, folks, offends this court and mentions Jesus, Jesus is offensive. In any prayer, that student be summarily arrested, face 6 months incarceration in the Galveston County Jail. Anyone who violates these orders is going to wish he or she had died as a child when this court gets through with him. In the United States of America, a Christian nation, folks, we got problems. We really do. And we need some folks to step up to the plate. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Folks, let me ask you, are you fighting a good fight? You know, a lot of times people aren't even in a battle at all. And what about finishing a course? Folks, the Bible says our life is but as a vapor. You know, whoosh, it's going to be gone that quick. Your course, how's your course doing? You know, are you even on a course? What's going on? And what about keeping the faith? There's so many times people's faith gets destroyed because, a lot of times, because of the evolutionary teaching. We see this all the time, this very issue. There's a lot at stake, folks. There really, really is. See, we need Christians as mayors and cops and judges, and we need people to get involved in doing something for the Lord, whatever the case may be. I don't know what it is for you, but it is something. See, folks, God puts people in places where he would actually use them to affect change in other people's lives. And all too often, that person won't step up and do anything. But God would use them if they simply would. Folks, we need to get involved while we're here. What's at stake? Oh, just the eternal destiny of souls by the billions across this planet. That's all. Does it matter? You better believe it, it matters. Folks, it matters a lot. There are four great questions man has always sought to answer all throughout time. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And what happens to us when we die? You know, a person's answers to these questions are directly related to their worldview. How people view the world is how they interpret everything. Everything gets filtered through that worldview. Well, look at this. Let's just look at these now. Who am I? Well, for the evolutionist, we're not much. We're certainly nothing important. We're just a bunch of non-life. Look at this thing. Life arose from non-living matter present on the early earth. They're actually saying that non-life can turn into life. Now, folks, anybody is welcome to believe that, but that's not science. You see, that's where the problem comes in. Things that are taught, they're basically belief systems, are taught as though it's true. Anybody can believe non-life can turn to life, but that's not science. How about this one? Swirling in the waters of the ocean is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. And then it describes them here. However, the progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. Yeah, I'd say it's so slow it still hadn't happened, you know? That's pretty slow. Anybody can believe that kind of stuff happened, but it's not science. Well, question two, where did I come from? Well, for the evolutionist, there was this explosion called a Big Bang, billions of years ago. And out of that rubble, everything shows up over time. Well, now wait just a second. Actually, this is making a big comeback here of late, the last several years anyway. They know it takes life to produce life. So now, since they don't know where life comes from, now there's this a lot of speculation on the idea, the concept that E.T. brought life to this planet. Extraterrestrials brought it here. Yeah, that's it. And then they left. And you know. Now, folks, anybody's welcome to believe E.T. brought life here if they'd like to. That's not the issue. People can believe whatever they want. That doesn't mean that it's true. That just means they believe it. That's all. Well, question three, why am I here? Hey, if evolution is true, why are we here? Now, think about this. Hey, I was at a public school, and and all the juniors and seniors for 2 hours. Gonna have a grand old time. And as we're getting started early on, before everybody else is there, there are five guys and two young ladies helping me find the auditorium and get set up and all that kind of stuff. Had a 30-foot square screen, big old giant screen. Gonna have a great time. Well, anyway, I had the four great questions up on this big screen because that's what I wanted to start a little presentation with these students with. And there were just a handful of students there at the time because we're in the setup stage. And this young lady, junior in high school, sitting right on the front row, right on the front chair, so, you know, in a high school auditorium, she focuses in on this question number three, and she just yells out at the top of her lungs, "Why am I here?" And it was dead silence. And I thought, well, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity, you know. Went down all the way, right up to her, you know, nose to nose, got in her personal space. Right there, and I looked right at her, and I said, "Answer that." And I just stood there. And I wasn't going to move until she gave me an answer. Now, you got to understand, this gal, junior in high school, she's looking at me and frowning and wrinkling up her face, you know, and her eyebrows are going up and down and up and down, and her head's flopping over this way and over this way, and she's looking at me in the screen and me in the screen. And I mean, this went on for about 2 full minutes. Now, folks, if you've never looked at anybody that you don't even know for 2 minutes without moving this far from their face, you ought to try that. That's not easy to do. So I'm standing here staring at this girl thinking, I really wish you'd hurry up. No doubt she's thinking, I really wish you'd go away. But I'm not going to move until she gives me an answer. And finally, this girl looked at me like I wasn't even there. Like she's looking right through me. Now, she yelled out the question, "Why am I here?" And then finally she said, "I don't have any idea." Now, folks, that's sad, but that's reality. Do you realize if evolution is true, there really is no purpose for life? Why are we here? What difference does anything make? What's wrong with living a life that all the humanist philosophies would demand and dictate? Hey, you only go around once. If it feels good, do it. Let your heart be your guide. All that kind of stuff. Folks, if evolution's true, what's wrong with you might as well just party hardy while you're here, man, because you only get one shot at this thing. So you might as well have a blast while you're here. See, folks, evolution affects the way people are, the way people think and the way people do things and such. So what happens when we die? They say, you and I are flesh and blood, but we are also stardust. They say we're just stardust. When we die, we get put in the ground, we rot away, and it's over with. Now, a creationist worldview is quite a bit different than that. As a matter of fact, these guys, this is so funny. Scientific American, December 04, the seemingly simple question, what exactly defines life? The definition of life is an elusive thing. They really don't know what life is, where it comes from, how it operates, and all that kind of stuff. Folks, it affects everything. And if they're having a wrong worldview filter, going all this information going through, they're not going to come to a good conclusion. You can't get around that, you see. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in the very first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, folks, this is so simple. If God created it, he's the boss. He's the master. He maketh the rules. Now, God gave us a rule book. Now, he could have called his rule book whatever he wants to. But for some reason, he chose Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, this is God's rule book. Now, if he wants to say in his rule book, the whole purpose for us to be here is to give glory to him, he can certainly say that. Folks, this is his world, this is his universe, he sets the rules. See, one of the problems in Christianity today, everybody has their own God and their own mind that they've made up that's acceptable to themselves. And then they give God a list of rules and put him in a box and duct tape it shut. And if God violates the rules people give him, then people get mad at God. Things are backwards these days, you know, they really are. But wait a second. Everything is in the Bible somewhere. You know, the Bible says there is no new thing under the sun. See, the devil didn't like it either. Now think of it. The first time you see the devil in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. The devil goes up to Eve and says, "Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree in the garden?" With a question. Now folks, isn't it amazing? The first thing out of the devil's mouth was a question to Eve, designed to have doubt enter the picture. All right, now look at the second thing. Ye shall not surely die. See, the devil said, God said you're going to die. The devil said you're not going to die. Just change one little word. Add one little word there, you know. And once doubt is firmly established, you can take the next step. Deny, reject. What God said, that's not really true. Well, look at the third thing. The day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall be as gods. Whew. Now that sounded pretty good to Eve back then. But folks, the reality is this, the devil lied to Eve. He's been lying ever since. You know, that sentence right there is the whole philosophy of evolution in a nutshell. The devil wants us to believe we started off as simple life forms. Not much. We're getting better and better and better and better. We are on our way toward godhood. Totally untrue. Nonsense. But that's what's being taught. Even all over this country, humans will eventually evolve into an all-powerful God. folks, it's nonsense. But that's what's being taught. The devil lied to Eve. He's been lying ever since. Now check this out. There are three of us in our family, and we travel all four seasons of the year. We have a motorhome with a closet this big, so we don't have a lot of clothes. So we have to wear the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and you know, it wears out, and then we finally throw it away. Actually, I never throw mine away. I keep wearing them. But anyway, but the point is, we don't have a lot of room. So we spend a lot of laundromat times over the years. So I'm waiting on the clothes one day, and my belly's growling. I'm thinking I could go for a Snickers bar. So I go up to the candy machine, and it says Purex, clean free, cheer, Tide. Now, wait a second, folks. There's no candy in that candy machine. They lied to me, the rascals. Now, you have to understand, I didn't fall for their lie. I did not eat any cheer, okay? I didn't go for it. But folks, you know, we get lied to all the time. Sometimes it's so simple and meaningless, we don't even catch it. It might be one thing for somebody to lie to you and steal some candy from you. You might get lied to and somebody might steal your job. You might get lied to or lied about, somebody will steal your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your job, your reputation, your identity these days. I mean, anything and everything can go. But folks, we need to understand something very important. See, the devil is the master liar. He wants to lie to you and steal your soul. He wants you in hell with him. See, folks, is there anything at stake? You better believe it, folks. There's a lot at stake. And don't you think for a minute the devil doesn't know it's got to be a long-term, slow chiseling away, because if he just jumps up and says, I'm the devil, I want to bring you to hell with me, people aren't going to go for that. So he has to be so subtle that you don't even realize things are going on in many cases. But the goal is still the same. Folks, let me ask you a question. What are you doing with your life that is really going to matter in eternity? What are we doing right now that in the end is really going to amount to anything, really and truly? It's just really kind of sad. So many people, we talk to so many young people, I'm gonna. We talk to so many older people, I wish I would've. Who's going to fill that void in the middle and actually do something while they're here? Too many people have too much time. They're doing too many things that just matter too little. And people are spinning their wheels doing nothing for the Lord while they're here, all the while calling themselves a Christian. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. You know, there are people that are just a little too well off to need God. And that's just reality. He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. They judge success by what it is you have. And folks, it's in churches that way. There's this mentality. It even affects even the church folks. You know, you hear on the advertisements people talk about in this country, planning for the golden years. And let me ask you a question. Are you spending more money, more time, more energy, more effort, more focus of attention and such, planning for the golden years, age of retirement on this earth? Or planning for the ultimate in golden years, the streets of gold, golden years? Where do we spend more of our time and our effort and our energy and our money and exhaust ourselves and such? Usually, it's for the stuff that's all going to stay here anyway. It's really quite astounding when you think about it. But you know, the Bible says we need to lay our treasures up in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. Well, the question is, what are you sending up? What are you sending up, folks, while we're here? What are we doing for the Lord? We're in churches all over this country. A lot of times on the way out the church house door, out in the yard somewhere, they have these signs. You are now entering the mission field. You are now entering your harvest field or whatever. Folks, I dare say that a lot of times that sign is on the wrong side of the door. Look, just because somebody is born and raised in a church does not mean they're going to heaven when they die. The Bible says you must be born again to enter or see the kingdom of God. And so it does become a very important issue. USA Today, front page, how ad images shape our habits. And they're using Joe Camel, the Marlboro Man, the Budweiser Frogs. Advertisers know how to take a certain product and package it to attract certain people. They know what they're doing here. Look, they don't advertise Cocoa Puffs on Saturday morning cartoons for nothing, okay? They know who's going to be watching that stuff, so they know what product to put in front of that group of people. They know what to do there, because then they influence mom and dad when they get to the grocery store. Well, folks, that concept of mixing things and blending things together is exactly what they've done with evolution. Evolution has nothing to do with science, but it has been put into science for so long, people think that it belongs there, even though it has nothing to do with it at all. Evolution is religion by definition, and they themselves even admit it. Check this out. This guy is an evolutionist philosopher. Look at this thing. Evolution is promoted by its practitioners as more than mere science. Evolution is promulgated as an ideology, a secular religion, a full-fledged alternative to Christianity with meaning and morality. Evolution is a religion. And it is. That's from an evolutionist even. Folks, it is a religion. It is a belief system. Random House Dictionary.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.